Our text from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 11. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are now being saved, if you hold fast to the word I have preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Napoleon Bonaparte was on board one of his troop ships, and he was headed to one of the campaigns in North Africa. And one night he was looking out across the waters, and he started chatting with one of his generals, and he asked, "General, what is it that you are going to do when this war is over and we return home again?" The general replied, "Your Excellency, I think I will found a new religion." Somewhat surprised by that, Bonaparte replied, "Well, that should be easy. All you have to do is die on a cross and 3 days rise from the dead." Even though Napoleon's answer was a bit tongue-in-cheek, he was right. It isn't enough to be simply born of a virgin, to fill all those ancient prophecies, to give yourself as a sacrifice, and to die an excruciating death on a cross. It's the resurrection of Jesus that gives the power to the cross and makes possible for us to receive from our living Lord the gifts of forgiveness of sins, peace with God, a fresh start when sin and trouble grip our lives, and that insurance of eternal life. If the story of Jesus had finished with the cross and the tomb, then Jesus would have nothing to offer us today. He would be dead. His body would be decaying in a tomb. Our faith in Jesus simply wouldn't exist. As Paul, the missionary, said, "If Christ did not rise, we are the most to be pitied of all men." How can we trust in someone who is powerless to face the one thing that we fear the most, death? The events of Holy Week, the last meal, the agony in the garden, the betrayal, the trial, the inhumane treatment, the treachery, the manipulation of those religious leaders, the cruelty, and finally that crucifixion and Jesus' last words, and then the grief of the followers that place him in the tomb. It all makes a great story, and novelists and movie makers, that, well, they wouldn't miss out on some of the action and drama. But it means nothing to us today if the story simply ends there. Without Easter, it's simply a tragic story, and that's all that we have left. It would have little impact on the here and now and what's happening in our daily lives at this very moment. We would simply shake our heads and go on to the next thing. Life really would be hopeless and meaningless. And that's what this day is, though. A few years ago, it fell on April Fool's. It would be an April Fool's joke. We know that there's a large proportion of people around us who really don't have an idea of what Easter is, apart from Easter eggs, bunny rabbits, and holidays. For them, it's a time maybe of new clothes, some fun, a day or two off of work. And it's marking the time when the warmer weather comes. Oh yes, an allergy season. There was a well-dressed young man, and he was standing in front of this display window of an antique store, looking at one of these classic paintings of the crucifixion. And as he stood there, this little boy walked up to him and stood beside him, and they looked at that painting. The young man pointed at the picture and asked, "Do you know what this picture is all about?" "Oh, yes," came the reply from that boy as he pointed to the figure on the cross. "That's Jesus." And as he spoke, this small boy expressed surprise that this young man in this suit didn't really know anything about Jesus. Then, after a long pause and with the evident desire to lighten the man, he said, "Them's the soldiers." And after a long sigh, and the lady over there is his mother. And after another brief moment of silence, he said, "They killed him, mister." And together they studied that painting in silence until finally the man ruffled the boy's hair and affectionately wandered and disappeared into the crowd. He turned around the corner and he heard this shrill voice behind him saying, "Hey, mister, mister." The boy came running up to him all out of breath, and to the young man he said, "I want to tell you, mister, he rose again. He rose again." The boy got it right. He wanted to tell that well-dressed young man about the man on the cross. He didn't stay dead. Good Friday only makes sense in the light of Easter. And wherever the apostles spoke of Jesus' death, it was always with the resurrection in mind. When Peter preached about Jesus, he said, "We are witnesses of all that he did in the country of the Jews in Jerusalem. And they put him to death, hanging on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him appear, not to all people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead." Paul wrote, "He was delivered over for our trespasses and raised for our justification." Every time the Bible talks about Jesus dying to make us right with God and giving us his life on the cross in our place, it gives us that forgiveness and taking himself on himself all the evil in our lives and breaking down that wall of separation between us and God. It's that sacrifice of his life so that we might have freedom from guilt and Satan's power. It's that dying on the cross that we might live forever. And that cross always mentions, there's always the assumption that it's all possible only because Jesus rose again from the dead. It's that hub that holds everything together, all the spokes on a wheel. It's that central part of the Christian faith. Paul puts it this way in our second reading. "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised in accordance with the Scriptures." When the Bible talks about Jesus' death and resurrection, it makes the connection of what happened 2,000 years ago to our lives today in 2024. It's not just talking about some interesting historical fact about Jesus, but it is the power of God. Baptism and Holy Communion and our faith in what Jesus has done for us, that gives it its power. We are connected with Jesus in our dying and our rising. And there's that intertwining of this knitting together of our lives with the life of Christ. God connects us and links us to the empty tomb. We are forgiven and we are given that free gift of eternal life. And all of this happens and begins at our baptism when we are united with Christ and with fellow believers. And every day that love that Christ influences everything that we do and happens in our lives. This happens as we trust in God's promises. And what seems depressing is suddenly filled with hope. The inner turmoil is replaced with peace. The New Testament often talks about the Christian being in Christ, in union with Christ, dying and rising with Christ, being united with Christ in his death and resurrection. And so we hear Paul as he tells the Roman Christians, our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. And when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we will also share in his new life. See, we are interlocked and interweaving our lives with the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. It's through the Word and God's Word and sacraments that it takes us back in time to the cross, nailed to the cross, but there we die, so also does our sin. But likewise, we're also transported to the tomb where Jesus lay, and we rise with him, given a new life, a new way of seeing things, new values in this risen Christ, and walking with us the rest of our days and here in this life until we arrive in heaven. If Jesus had stayed in the tomb, then what Paul said would be quite right. We've been tricked. There's no point in trusting a dead Jesus. There's no hope in this life, for there is no one who can help us in our times of trouble and our weaknesses. There's no hope beyond the grave. We close our eyes, that's the end, nothing more. For sure, those who believe that there's nothing after death, well, maybe they've reached that conclusion because they face death and despair. They've refused to listen to the voice that calls to them, hey, Jesus is alive. Or maybe no one's chased after them with that urgent message. Hey, Mr., Miss., or Mrs., Jesus is alive and he can make all the difference in your life. It's true that even though life is intertwined with Christ, that you trust and believe in that your life is in Jesus' hands, that doesn't mean nothing bad will happen in your life. We all know that too well from experience. It's there that we experience that in our lives and the lives of our friends and families, trials will still come. Sin still affects and touches our lives in various ways. If anyone is close to God, it was Jesus Christ. And see how he suffered? Sure, it was part of that bigger plan of God, but it still involved pain and suffering. But the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is a highly attested fact with eyewitnesses. Here again from our epistle, as Paul wrote, he appeared to Cephas, Peter, and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to me, one untimely born, he appeared to me also, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. Look at Paul, a powerful man of God, if ever there was one. And we read about his personal struggles and the bad things that happened to him. But he continued to proclaim the risen Christ because he was so convinced. He, who was an enemy of Christ, became a chief proponent of the faith. And if you read the story of those who suffered and died because of their faith, you soon realize that being in Christ can also mean personal struggles. Of the 12 apostles, the chosen witnesses of the resurrection, probably 11 died a martyr's death. But they had to be true witnesses to that resurrection of Jesus. You see, Easter doesn't bring the promise of a trouble-free life. It brings the promise of a Savior who is alive and who walks with us every step of the way in our journey through that trouble. Easter tells us that the Savior who walked on earth and now is alive walks with us today and knows what it means to feel our anguish, our pain, and he is the one who comforts us and strengthens us. Easter tells us about a Savior who gives us the victory over sin and death and Satan, regardless of the trouble that might enter into our lives. And when death comes and brings us to that end, Easter tells us that we have a risen Savior who will raise us up and give us new bodies, a new life, a new home in heaven to live with him forever. You look around, the empty cross dominates our church. It testifies to the fact that Jesus died but also rose again for you and for me. And we are people of the resurrection. You are resurrection people. And every Sunday we celebrate the resurrection. And again, an apostle makes it quite clear, Jesus is more powerful than anything that can terrify us in this life. He has defeated the power of sin and death and Satan. The resurrection is our guarantee of eternal life. And so we join with Christians all over the world today and say, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen. And now may the peace that surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.